I'm excited about serving Jesus. How about you?
Amen. God bless.
The reason is because once I was lost, and now I'm found. Once I walked in darkness, now I walk in the light. Once I was blind, and now I see. It's because of Jesus. It's a delight to be here, renew fellowship with Paul and Patty and their family. We have roots that go way back to North Dakota. Just to let you know, to introduce myself, I was born and raised on a cattle ranch in North Dakota, rural North Dakota. Now, to help you understand what that means, we drove 50 miles one way to church. It was 35 miles to the nearest town, Belfield. It was 12 miles to the nearest paved road, Highway 83, and it was 6 miles to the mailbox. Oh, wow. Now, that's rural. That's country. In fact, I told my parents if they ever missed the rapture, there'd be no problem because the Antichrist would never find them. But when I got saved, I prayed a very simple prayer. I just said, Jesus, here's my life. I'll do anything you want me to do. I don't want to be a pastor, preacher, missionary. I don't want to stand up in front of people, but I'll do anything you want me to do. Excuse me. I went to Bible college, and there I read a book called The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. Now, he wrote a book on the ministry. It's a ministry he started in 1958 in New York City to reach gang members and drug addicts. It's a 200-page book. And if you're interested, I could make them available. But people these days don't read 200-page books. So we have the condensed version, 50-page book that tells the story of David Wilkerson leaving a little church in Pennsylvania, going to the inner city of New York, and starting to reach gang members and drug addicts, and just saw the ministry launched from a very unpretentious young pastor. He never dreamt that the drug problem back in 1958 would proliferate and be all across America and around the world. But he launched that ministry to reach gang members and drug addicts. And today there are over 220 teen challenge ministries all across America. Amen. But how many know that the drug and the alcohol, the addiction problem is not just unique to America? It's around the world. So in 1995, they started Global Teen Challenge, which addresses teen challenge work in other countries. And today, thank God, 65 years later, there's Teen Challenge Ministry in 130 countries around the world, reaching lost and addicted people with a message that Jesus Christ still sets people free. Amen. So it's been an incredible journey for me and my wife. Went to Bible college and I met my wife. And from there, God opened the door for us to go to Philadelphia. So we spent our first 9 years in the inner city, working in the ghettos of Philadelphia. And there I saw that this wonderful gospel that was real to me, it works. Sharing your faith with addicted, lost, troubled people, God still changes lives today. So for 9 years, we learned Teen Challenge, learned what it is evangelism, going where they are, to the street, to the prison, to the detox, to the jails, wherever they are, and letting them know that there's hope. Because normally, addicted people come to a place of hopelessness. Because after you've tried everything and nothing works, usually the end is suicide, prison, hospital, or death. And so the theme of Teen Challenge is putting hope within reach. And our goal is put hope within reach of every drug addict on the planet.
Amen. Wow.
That's called a BHAG. You know what that is? Big, hairy, audacious goal. Because God's will is that not one should perish. And so God called us unlikely candidates from a cattle ranch in North Dakota and my wife from a dairy farm in North Dakota. 9 years in Philadelphia, and then we were invited to go to the country of Portugal, right next to Spain. You know where that is? I didn't. I'm typical American, and when we were invited to go to Portugal, I thought I was in South America. Good thing I looked at the map before I got on the plane, but we spent 16 years in Portugal, helped launch the Teen Challenge ministry there. And then we joined the Global Teen Challenge, and for the last 20 years have been working in Latin America and the Caribbean, all up and down the continent, helping launch Teen Challenge ministry so that every drug addict in every nation can hear the message of hope and know that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. They can be changed and can be set free. Hallelujah. So we've had an incredible journey, and now I'm retired on paper, but that means I get to go where I want to go when I want to, and had occasion going to memorial service up in Greeley this afternoon, and I said, I'm coming and I can see fellow North Dakotans. So that's always a joy. We're not that many. So I said, what a joy, and get to renew fellowship. And it's been great to be with Paul and Patty and their family, and now to be here with you. So I would like to just share a brief message from a very familiar portion of Scripture. When I came downstairs this morning, the Lord really confirmed this message. I want to share from Matthew 26, and we know it well, we that are familiar with the Gospels. It's called the Last Supper, the Holy Communion, the last time that Jesus ate with his disciples, and it's celebrated in the church, and there's a lot of general knowledge about it. But I want to just remind you, Matthew 26, verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus and his disciples, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. So when we think of the communion service, we think of basically two elements. The church celebrates the death of Jesus Christ with the bread and the wine as his body and blood. And I want to just focus for a few moments on just one of the elements, the bread. I came down this morning and I saw homemade bread. Yes! I said, I'm in the right place. And the only thing is I went out there and it's almost all gone. But let's just take a moment and think about bread. Brother Paul and I were just talking about bread what countries have some of the best? And Portugal, the country of Portugal, has some of the best bread in the world. The Italians will contest that, but the Portuguese bread is just phenomenal, probably very much like what Patty made this morning.
Yeah.
But bread is a symbol of life, because bread contains all of the nutrients needed to live, to survive. Remember back in the day, maybe you don't, when in prison, you got bread and water. Why was that? Because bread and water were enough to sustain life. All of the necessary nutrients, the proteins, the carbs, or whatever, that you could survive on bread and water. And so it's easy to see how bread symbolizes life. And I made friends when we got to Portugal. I made friends with the local bakery, because they have incredible bread. And I made him a deal that when his delivery truck got right out of the oven bread and he'd distribute to the other little towns, that he went right by my house and I hung a bread sack on my doorknob. And every morning at 6 a.m, I had fresh bread. So I'm a little spoiled. But bread symbolizes life. And we can apply this to ourselves and think of yourself as bread being a symbol of your life. And let's look at what Jesus did with the bread, because it's very similar to what he wants to do with our life. It says, first of all, it says he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. He said, Father, I give you thanks. And he blessed the bread. I guess part of that is the reason that before we eat, we bless a meal. We pray over it. We thank God for it. And in many of the places we've been, we pray serious prayer before we eat what's been put before us. We say, God, sanctify it, because I don't know what's in it. And I want to live to see another day. But the first thing that Jesus did was he blessed the bread. I don't know what your concept is of God. I just know this. I want to remind you that God loves you. We were created in the book of Genesis, how God created man for fellowship, for communion, for interaction. And he created the garden for him, and because he wanted to fellowship with him. God loves you, and his desire is to bless you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and his desire is for good and for your blessing and fulfillment and communion with him. Amen. And says that the first thing that he blessed us with is salvation. He's not willing that any should perish. Man fell into sin and separated from God. But God said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son to die on the cross for your sins so that we can be in communion again, be in fellowship. God loves you. I'm so thankful for the blessings he pours out on our life. I was never a drug addict or an alcoholic. I drank a few beers and smoked a few cigarettes, but I was lost. I didn't know Jesus. And I'll remember that day, September 13th, 1966, before a lot of you were born. And I bowed my knee and I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Lord, I know you love me. And boy, from that moment on, my life was changed and the light of Christ came into my life. And I've never looked back since. And what a joy it is to know I'm in fellowship with the Father and he loves me and wants to bless me. I've traveled a lot in Europe and some of the museums and seen the incredible paintings. And a lot of them from Reformation and Europe history, they show God as a thundering God from heaven with lightning bolts and a big stick ready to judge the moment you do wrong. My Bible tells me God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to bless you with salvation, which means you have communion, you have a relationship, you have fellowship with God, your heavenly Father.
Preach it.
Wow, that will preach, won't it?
Yeah.
The first thing, he's not waiting for us to make a mistake so he can break our legs or break our kneecaps. He says, I love you. And if you do sin, confess your sin, and you can renew your fellowship with your heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
He blesses us with healing, heals our bodies. And again, that's, I'm sure you've had teaching on that, but in Teen Challenge, I saw so many times drug addicts come in broken, addicted, dope sick, out of their minds. One of them, his mind was so gone from acid and hallucinogenics back in the 70s, he was just wasted. He didn't even know his own name. We just started praying, say, God, here's a young man wants to get out. He wants help. He wants to be changed. He's going to die or go to the mental hospital. God, you need, God, do a miracle. We prayed for him, and George accepted Jesus Christ. God healed his mind. He went to Bible college, graduated from a university, and is listed in who's who in America's universities and colleges with a brilliant mind and a theologian. I just visited him in Philadelphia, where he's been pastoring for the last 27 years.
Wow.
God wants to bless us by touching, healing, restoring us so that we can live and function and give him glory and accomplish what he intends us to do. He blessed us in a lot of other ways, and of course this could go on and on, but you know, I'm an eater, I like to eat. And so eating has a quite important place in my life. And in Teen Challenge, where we exist on donations and it's a faith ministry and you gotta pray for God to do miracles to survive. One day in Philadelphia, we're heading into the fall and our budget was pretty low, and I began to get concerned how much food we'd have. And that makes you pray better when you think you might not have food. So we just called for a time of fasting and prayer, the students, the staff. And all of a sudden, we got a phone call from two ladies that pastored a church up in Maine. And they called and said, hey, we were just praying for Teen Challenge, and we wondered, do you have any need? I said, oh, hallelujah. Just send an offering. She said, well, we don't have any money. But she said, we have potato farmers in our church. And we'd like to know, could we send you some potatoes? Yes. She said, how many can you use? I said, as many as you want to send. The next week, a tractor trailer pulled up with 20 tons of potatoes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We had potatoes in the basement, on the front porch, in the attic, in the kitchen, in the cooler. We shared them with other ministries. We had potatoes for breakfast. We had them for lunch. We had them for dinner. We had them with a little bit of chicken. We had them with a piece of ham. We had hot and cold and fried and stewed and baked and French fried. We had potatoes. But we never forgot that God's supernatural provision, because it proved he loved us. He said, I want to bless you. And I even know when you're hungry and what you have need of, and I will supply your need. I hope your mind can grasp just a little better how much God cares about every need you have. And as he said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Even to the very most mundane and ordinary day-by-day needs that you have. Just reminded of one of our Portuguese girls in the Bible school in Portugal, a delightful young gal, but she really wanted to be married. And she was real tall, and the Portuguese are mostly short. And so she said, God, this is going to take a miracle. So she went to the store and bought a pair of men's pants, extra long. Hung them in her dorm room, and said, God, now there's the pants, you fill them. She met a baseball player from Minnesota, married him, and is serving God today. God said, I know what things you have need of. He knows what you need, and he wants to bless your life. Please get a grasp on that. For me, coming from a poor family in rural North Dakota, I'm almost in tears sometimes saying, God, you've been so good. I've traveled the continents. I've gone places I never even dreamt of. When I called my dad and I said, I'm going to Suriname, he said, where's that? And I didn't really know either. But it was incredible when I got the call and they said that they wanted me to meet with the president of the country of Suriname. I'd never met a president before. I've never met my own president. And so I said, just don't tell him I'm from North Dakota. Got to Suriname for the first time. Had an audience with His Excellency Sir Ronald Vinny Shan. Wow, how cool. He doesn't know I'm from North Dakota, so I've got a tie on, and I'm an International Teen Challenge representative. He said, you got 10 minutes. So we went in. And he said, the reason you're here is I saw on the internet how this teen challenge thing, that you claim 78% of the people that go through your discipleship program never go back to drugs. Is it true? And we have studies, we have documents, we have studies that have been done that prove nearly 80% of those that go through the year of discipleship never go back to the old way of life. And government programs have 3%, 5%, maybe 10%. But it's Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Amen. So he asked his questions, and then 30 minutes later, he leaned across his desk and said, sir, I want to know, how do you do it? All right, he asked, and this might be my only chance. I might get an exit visa in my passport and a ride to the airport, but here's my chance. I said, sir, it's Jesus Christ that changes lives. I give him scripture from John 3:16, Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:9, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Sir, Jesus Christ changes lives. Amen. He looked across his desk. He said, sir, what you have is what my country needs. Anything that comes across my desk, I will sign it in favor of a teen challenge ministry for the country of Suriname. God loves us. He wants to bless us. And now I'd like to just stop there because, wow, that's good, isn't it? All we got to do is just, when God puts his hand on our life, the blessing comes, salvation, the Holy Spirit, power, food, supply, husband, wife, wow. But he didn't just bless the bread. Now this, you got to stay with me here. It says he blessed the bread and then he broke it. Now, I was going to actually take one of those beautiful loaves as a good illustration, but they're pretty well gone because they're so good. But it's been broken. And he broke the bread and he divided it to feed and fed it to his disciples. You see, if those loaves would have just stayed beautiful on the counter, oh, they'd be nice. In fact, you could even varnish them or lacquer them and put them up on a shelf and everybody that comes, wow, Patty, you have beautiful bread at your house. Cool, man. Oh, it's not God's plan. Yeah. He blesses us. He provides for us. He heals us. He forgives our sin. He gives us a reason for living. And then he said, now, in my hand, I have to break you so that I can feed others. It gets a little heavy because we really want to pursue our own idea of happiness. We really want to pursue what we think will bring joy. So the world says, well, if you come to these parties and we do this, this, and this, and so we run to that and you just wring out every bit of joy and pleasure and sensual excitement, at the end it's empty. But then they say, but if you do this, and that's where addictions come in, just do this and the high and the cool and wow, it takes you to another level. And you wring out every bit of joy and pleasure and good feeling. At the end, it's empty. But then there's another group, and on it goes. I just heard Daryl Strawberry speak not long ago. He was MVP, off the top charts, baseball player, Hall of Fame candidate, whatever. And one time he said he had $30 million in the bank. Got involved in drugs and alcohol and immorality. And I think it was even something to do with a murder. Went to prison. And when he went to prison, he wound up $3 million in the red. Lost. Hopeless. His wife led him to Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, I sold myself, gave everything to get to the top. And I got there. But when I got there, there was nothing there. You can wring out all the joy and temporal pleasure. And at the end of the day, there's nothing there. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Yes. If you surrender your life, let that loaf of bread in the hand of God be broken. Not my will, thine be done. I prayed that dangerous prayer. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Kind of flippantly. Not really, because I meant it. I had no idea the cost. I had no idea what God would take us through. But the breaking process is his way of multiplying us so we can feed many. But what happens is when that bread is distributed, it disappears. It's gone. The Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. His goal is to break, not just bend your life a little. We concede a little. But if you be willing to surrender to the hand of God and allow him to break your will, people come to Teen Challenge, they want help, they say they do, and they say, well, but I'm only doing a little on the weekends, and I get high here and there, and I sleep with my girlfriend or whatever, and that's cool for me. I like what Dr. Phil says. And how's that working for you? Yeah. Ring out all the joy here and here. At the end of the day, there's an emptiness. There's a loneliness. Billy Graham used to talk about the God-shaped vacuum in your soul, in our soul. It can only be filled by him. Amen. And the joy that comes when you surrender. Say, Lord, I yield myself to you. Deny myself. God, what do you want me to do? He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. It's for good and not for evil. I'm not waiting with a big stick to break your bones and then just let you eke out a living. I love you. I bless you. But I have to break that stubborn, arrogant, prideful will that just keeps trying to assert itself, thinking you know best. He said, I made you. I've got a plan for you. Surrender to me. He said, I'll make you into something beautiful that will reflect the glory of God, the life of heaven, and bring life to others. Early on when I was in Teen Challenge, a young man came to Teen Challenge and he was a heroin addict, a dealer, and he surrendered to Christ. And man, see that guy change. It was incredible. Tom, he was such a harsh and hard guy. He'd stabbed people and beaten them up and robbed. And when he met Jesus, he just started to glow with the glory of God. It was amazing. And then one day, after about three months, he said, I can't do this. Too many rules, too strict. Bible study every day and chapel and work details. And I miss my family. And I begged him not to go. But he went back home. Didn't take long. And he was back in drugs. And then one night, his wife called, 2 o'clock in the morning, hysterical, saying, please come, it's Tom. ran up the street to their apartment, and she led us into the bedroom where Tom was lying in bed dead from an overdose with the needle still in his arm. And it happened early in my Teen Challenge ministry, and I said, God, I can't do this because I failed. I failed. I led Tom to Christ. I shared God's love. God spoke to me and he said, you didn't fail. Tom made his choice. And here's what he said that's helped me since. He said, you're not going to win them all. But if you stay faithful, being broken, being given to others, you'll win many.
Amen.
You're not going to win them all. But if you stay faithful, sowing seeds, investing in others, loving them, sharing a word of hope, offering Christ's love, you'll win many. Today I have spiritual sons, not boasting, but on several continents, multiple countries. I've been in every country in South America, almost but two or three, planting Teen Challenge vision and ministry, investing, sowing, eating funny food. I like the rice and beans and the plata, and those are the fried bananas, but just investing. Because I'm not going to win them all, but I'm staying faithful. Just keep sowing. And I so admire Paul and Patty, you becoming bread to Boulder, Colorado. Becoming bread to those that are hungry, that are lost, that are looking for answers. Thank God somebody's here. Being bread, offering real bread, for real, for real. But becoming bread. Being willing to disappear. There are no national headlines, no big newspapers publishing articles about Billet, but you're investing, being broken to be given to others.
Yes.
He said then the last thing, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. He gave it to be consumed. It disappeared. I really would have loved to have one of those breads, and of course, sanitary-wise, I don't know if I could have done it, but without gloves and a mask and what. But I would love to just take a loaf of bread and make it disappear. By just giving a piece to each. Jesus gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat. It was consumed. And guess what? Those disciples received new strength. And they carried on. And they turned their world upside down. You see, God's just simply looking for people that are willing to become bread. In the hand of the Master.
Amen.
The hand of the Creator. The hand of a God that loves you and has a plan for your life. I was invited to go to the country of Honduras. Paul went there, excuse me, on a mission trip later on. Got an email from Pastor Jorge, and he said, we need help to start Teen Challenge. So I went to Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and Pastor Jorge felt a call to go to one of the colonias, the suburbs in the capital city, where there was a very bad gang problem, and start a church. So he went and started a church. They said, don't go there. You got a wife and a little baby. Don't go there. It's dangerous. The gangs control. The police don't even go in there. They run things and they extort and kill and rob. And he said, God called me to go. Can I just challenge you to be open when you say, God, here's my life. Break it. And I trust you to invest me wherever you need me. Pastor Jorge, he said, I'm going anyway. Against the council, against better sense. He went to that colonia, planted a little church. He's got a small congregation. One night he's up preaching, and a gang war broke out outside of the church. And there's guns being fired and rocks being thrown and craziness. And all of a sudden, one of the gangs was losing, and they had nowhere to go. So they ran into his church and locked the door. He said, well, I was up preaching, and I thought I had the anointing, so I just said, sit down and shut up, because I'm preaching the word of God. And they did. And they did. He kept right on preaching, made an invitation for salvation. And when he finished, all 16 members of the gang came forward and said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. But now he's got a problem because they want to come to church. When they come, then ladies' purses disappear and things happen in the bathroom. And so he sent the SOS to Teen Challenge, said, we need Teen Challenge. So I went to Honduras. Beautiful story. God provided a 40-acre property. And Brother Paul went there on a construction group to build a dormitory. Because fast forward, Teen Challenge, the last time I was there, had 150 drug addicts and former gang members in the Teen Challenge, 1 year discipleship program, learning how to follow Jesus, because Pastor Jorge had become bread to that colonia. Now, they were having a problem because the gangs, when you join a gang, you get your tattoos all, you know, the MS-13, they're even here in the States, Mari Salvatrucha, that they behead people. That's their favorite thing to show their interest. If you leave the gang, they put a contract on you, and they find you and kill you. And now all these young men are in Teen Challenge, and two of them actually gave testimony in a church. When they stepped out the door, the gang gunned them down on the steps of the church. So Pastor Delman went to the leaders of the gang and said, "Hey, I want to meet with you guys. This is not fair because these young men are living lives that are clean and right. They're starting families. Some are even pastoring churches, and you're killing them. It's got to stop." And so the gang leaders conceded. They said, "All right, here's what we'll do. We'll make a deal with you that as long as guys go to Teen Challenge and they're really saved and really serving God, we won't kill them.
Praise God.
But to make sure they're not being phonies to get out of the gang, they got to come back every 6 months and check in. And if we don't believe they're serving God, we'll shoot them." Now, that'll keep you saved. I told one pastor, "Hey, you know what? That might be kind of a new method. Get committed Christian here." But it was incredible to see. And I love the worship. I think you do a beautiful job. Some of you probably are just learning how to worship and express your gratitude to God. And when you realize as bread how blessed we are, it should just provoke praise and gratitude to God. But at Teen Challenge, they never learned this halfway stuff. When they came out of gangs and violence and drugs, and it's time to worship, you don't have to ask them to stand. You know, I mean, Latinos, I mean, they're expressive. I'm German from North Dakota, but boy, I love it when they say it's time to worship. They get the bongos and guitars and tambourines. Just think, 150 young people in Honduras Teen Challenge. They're out of the gangs and out of the violence and the wickedness and the garbage, and it's time to worship. They just come down to the front and start to worship and praise. And then when it really gets going, they start leaping and dancing. Like a big Holy Spirit mosh pit right in front of the church.
Amen.
One young man, before he came to Teen Challenge, I don't know if he fell on the railroad tracks, was high and was laying there. Train came by and ran over him and cut off one of his legs. So he came to Teen Challenge on crutches. And I watched when the music started, the worship started. He threw his crutches aside, grabbed two of his brothers, and he's up there on one leg, just leaping and praising the Lord. He didn't let that stop him. What's stopping you from being bread that's been blessed and broken? And it's willing to say, "Jesus, here's my life. I want my life just to be a praise. I want my life just to be an incense of thankfulness to God." Because it says he dwells in the praise of his people. If you learn to praise him, to thank him, to worship him, there's something so, so special, so beautiful, so powerful that happens. The cleansing that comes, the joy that comes. So as I close, I just want to challenge you to be reminded, maybe every time you have bread, that you just be reminded, Jesus took the bread and he wants to take your life. He wants to put his hand on your life, not to beat you up, condemn you. You might say, "Well, you don't know the wicked, ugly past I've had. You don't know all the stuff that's happened to me." No. But compared to most Teen Challenge people, you're all right. It doesn't matter. Because God understands. He just says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Bring your brokenness. Bring your ugliness. Bring your sin. Just come. Just say, 'Jesus, here I am. I need forgiveness. I need cleansing. I need a purpose for living,' and to see God just come, forgive." It says, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You haven't sinned too much. You haven't gone too far. You haven't turned your back for too long. He just says, "Come on home." like the prodigal son. Just one step, turn around. And he said, the Father's waiting for you to put his hands on you and bless your life with purpose, with design, with meaningfulness. Oh, there'll be some breaking along the way. There'll be breaking that stubborn will. But then he wants to let you, make you become bread right where you are. You don't have to have a degree in theology. You don't have to come from a good background. But your testimony is being bread to others. And I challenge you to think this morning, and we're going to just close with maybe just a few moments for you to pray quietly, pray in your own way, but to ask the Lord, how can I, first of all, I really want to know you as a loving Heavenly Father. God, I don't want to fear you, and I don't want to worry about getting thrown into hell for all the things I've done wrong. But God, I want to know you. I'd like you to come into my life and be my Savior, be my Lord. You created me to worship you. You have a plan for my life. So Lord, this morning I want to surrender. And maybe you've accepted Christ, you're walking with God, but maybe there's some areas that you're still holding on to and still trying to wring out a little pleasure and joy for yourself in your own way. I challenge you just to say, Lord, the breaking hurts, tears the bread. But oh, then God takes that and he uses you to bring life to others. I'm 76 years old and I'm not done sharing, because as long as I have life, I want to keep being bread to somebody else who's hungry, who's empty, who's broken, who's addicted, who's lost. Doesn't matter where. And so I just want to challenge you. And I know you have a fellowship here where you can come and just a bunch of broken pieces of bread, get together and fellowship, love each other, eat, especially that bread, and then see God do things through you. I pray that Boulder will soon learn, or learn even more, that you can find bread at Belay Church.
Amen.
Those people, even if they're not in church, they're bread at school, on the job, on the bus, at the bus stop, at Starbucks, or wherever.
Yes.
Those people have a word of life. So I challenge you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come, Brother Paul, just to share from my heart, because I believe that Boulder desperately needs bread. People becoming bread, the living bread, to show people God's love. Maybe if you just bow your heads and just for a moment, maybe you could just kind of evaluate where you're at. Maybe you came here invited by a friend or for whatever reason, and maybe your heart is empty. Maybe there's just some brokenness and some emptiness in your life. And I would love for you today to open your heart and say, Jesus, maybe you even have to say, if you're real, if you're really real, God, if you really love me, if you care, God, let me feel and sense your presence today. Let me know your love. God, I want to believe in you. So I'm reaching out, I'm opening my heart. And if you need prayer at the end, you can see Pastor Paul, Sister Patty, or the other leaders here. Maybe you want somebody just to pray with you, but the prayer doesn't have to be fancy. You can just say, hey God, here I am, and you know where I'm at. And I need something, I need you, come into my life. Maybe you've been serving him, but maybe he's even been talking to you about some areas of your life that, where you've been stubborn or rebellious, selfish, angry, unforgiving. Would you, just in these moments, would you say, Jesus, I want to surrender, because the breaking process helps me to become like Jesus. Lord, I want to be yielded to you, to your plan and purpose for my life. I surrender to you. Maybe you know Jesus, but you've been afraid, not willing to share your faith. I challenge you to just ask God for the Holy Spirit to empower you, to quicken you, to give you a love for the lost around you. Remember how it was when you were hungry for bread? Remember when you were lonely and guilty? Remember what it was like, and then somehow somebody shared Jesus Would you be willing to say, Jesus, help me to become bread. Help me to bring life to somebody else. Share a word, share a prayer. Invite them to belay. Do something to point them to the love of God. Maybe God will even use some of you to become missionaries. If he can use an unlikely candidate from North Dakota, he can use you to become a missionary of some kind in your world. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful group. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come here today for this gathering. Thank you for Brother Paul, Sister Patty, for their wonderful family. Thank you, Lord, that God, that each of us is on a journey. But today I pray that we would realize as bread that you want to pour out new blessing. I pray blessing on this church body. Lord, that you would just bring new people. You would just provide for whatever they need, and may this ministry continually grow and reach out and touch their world, that Boulder would know that there are believers that love Jesus in this place. Lord, speak to us about the areas of our life that we resisted you. Break us today with your gentle, loving hand. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would leave today with a new determination to become bread to somebody who's hungry, who's lost, who's empty, who's frustrated, who may be contemplating suicide. Help us simply to share the message of God's love. Lord, I pray your blessing on the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.